I put that song on, and Lynn Slonica kicked her shoes off and jumped up on top of the console and started making her hair move, back and forth.
Yeah. It's, I'm wearing my peasant skirt.
Yeah. She said something about it reminded her of the days. I don't know.
it's a dim memory now. Good morning.
Well, if I could, I'd get my platform shoes and my dashiki. I'll show you something right now. Edumacation time. Lynn Slonica is in the house.
Good morning. How are you?
How you doing?
Oh, okay. You know, this weather is really freaky.
The weather, it is. I have been describing it in very technical language. Nasty, sloppy.
I heard that. I thought that was really good.
It doesn't make any sense in saying anything else. It's yucky. That's what it is.
It is yucky. But right now, actually, we're in prime drive time because all the kids are going to school two hours late.
That's right. Everybody's two hours late.
So everybody has their radio on and they're listening to us as they go to school.
With the exception of, I think I named one school district, two school districts that did actually close.
Up on the mountain. Yeah, Wyndham and
Wyndham
and
Jewett,
Hunter
and Hunter,
Tannersville.
Right.
Yeah, they're close. I think the predictions over there are pretty dramatic. They were talking up to 10 inches.
Well, this is a weird meteorological area.
Yeah.
You can have snow in Hudson and rain in Chatham. It just doesn't make any it's weird.
It's the river. Well, let's see, what do we have? Mostly what I have today is Columbia County sort of centric stuff, and a lot about Hudson. A mention about Germantown. We talked about them last week, that they were going to be hearing from Jim Baldwin concerning the superintendent search. And there seemed to be some, there was an organization in the community out there that was interested in exploring the possibility of not finding a superintendent, of actually combining a superintendency with a principal position. And it looks like the board has opted to do a superintendent search. They're using Questar. If they went with a private firm, that would be somewhere in the range of $12,000 to $13,000. Questar will do it for free. And Jim Baldwin, running that search. The board is going to form its own little advisory committee. And we'll see how that goes. That should be interesting to watch. That's a very small school district, 600 kids. There's some thought that perhaps Sue Brown, who is a principal within the district already, might be interested in the job and will apply. And then that would mean that somebody else would move into her job. But that's all very, very preliminary. People who are in Hudson know Sue Brown from years ago when she was a principal here in Hudson City School
now,
District.
Now, remind me, I believe that we were talking about the fact that they were beginning to consider whether or not they should have a rotating superintendent for these small districts. But I guess that's gone away.
Well, that is an idea proposed by the superintendent of Hunter Tannersville, and it's a subject that's going to be up for consideration at the Greene County School Administrators Association meeting this month, and we'll see where that goes. Also, the superintendent in Catskill had her own version of that. You may remember that the one proposal is that it would require a change in the state law.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You couldn't pull it off without changing the state law.
Right. And the big thing there would be you'd have to renegotiate all your bargaining units. Superintendents would be employees of the state and would be assigned to sort of consolidate it. It's sort of a mini Questar concept because
it boils down to being a great idea, but it would take forever to enact.
Right. Exactly. This is a long-term plan.
Right.
It would be a total reconfiguration of the public system.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you said change the law, I was
Yeah, really. It could be years. And in Hudson, there's been a lot in the news. There was a story yesterday, Nathan Mayberg wrote, indicating that the district is looking to get rid of John L. Edwards, which means a reconfiguration of their elementary, their K-6 program. I attended a budget meeting the previous week. It was one of their so-called community conversations where they came out and they delivered the brutal truth about 2013-14 in terms of money. And the subject of closing that building came up at that meeting, and Superintendent Suttmeyer was pretty clear in communicating that that was something they were looking at, but down the road. It wasn't something they wanted to do right away, and she said it couldn't be done for next year. Now this story comes out from a general board meeting saying that they are going to pursue this, that they have to let the state know by Friday. It's kind of confused. I have to learn more about it to understand what's really happening. But that building has a great deal of debt attached to it because, as people will remember, they've done considerable renovation work over there, parking lot, all, you know, a lot of work that represents state aid that the district is paying back. But I have learned that county officials walked through it with school officials last Wednesday. They've done this before, as far back as like 2005, 2006. The county had some interest in purchasing the building, and they went back and forth with the district, but nothing was ever consummated. But so, you know, who knows what this is going to mean. I would be very surprised if the county wanted to buy it at this point, just because they still have the Okwamik School.
Yeah, as well, we were talking off mic, we were running into building drama.
Yeah.
In both counties, as buildings are emptying out.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of space with nothing in it, and it has to be maintained by somebody.
Right.
And so it's interesting over the next years to see how this is going to be handled.
Right. And see, if they moved right now, for people who aren't familiar with the district, they've got kindergarten through second grade at John L. Edwards on State Street. Then third grade through sixth grade is currently housed at M.C. Smith Intermediate, which was built as the Hudson High School. It's the nice older building that sits up off of Harry Howard there. They would move K-2 up there, but in order to do that, they're saying that they would have to do some construction. So here again, that's cost.
Yeah, it's
and that will have to be financed. And it's sort of, you know, it's the lesser of several evils.
Right. Every time you look at, well, let's go over to this building so we can combine something. Then you start looking at the cost, and all of a sudden, it comes out to being more than it was in the two buildings together.
Right.
But I guess you got to look long term then.
Well, that's sort of the point, is in having deciding that you're going to make this sort of decision very, very quickly. I mean, the contrast to this is what's been going over in Carroll-Durham. I know that a lot of people are not happy with the outcome of that process and that decision making, but that's something that has been more than a year in coming, mm-hmm. actually a couple of years. And they took the time to think about it and study the options, whether they chose the right option or not, I guess is what the issue is now. Yeah. But so this kind of thing where one week it's one story and the next week it's something totally different is really kind of...
The one constant that doesn't change, and that is unless there is a huge surge of population, the buildings are going to start to get empty as kids graduate because
right.
less children are going to school. So that's a fact.
Yeah.
How they deal with it and then we're looking at how each individual school district deals with it because
exactly.
they're going to do it differently.
Exactly.
So it's going to be strange.
Yeah, and to have an empty building on a place like State Street is very different than having one out in the middle of...
On Route 66.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Or up on the mountaintop.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, so we'll have to keep track of that. I'm sure that will be an ongoing discussion. But speaking of budget for Hudson, these community conversations that they've done, they're doing a series of them, I guess, throughout March. They're going out and they're going to call. And when I say they, I mean the superintendent and the business manager are going to go out and call on various civic groups and organizations and make a pitch for what's happening in the district and to talk about the finance issues. Really what they're looking at for 2013-14 is close to a $2.2 million deficit. Actually, the total number is $2,177,000. And so they're trying to come up with different ways. Of course, you know, they have to fill that gap. And, you know, the way it works is that that tends to work through either a tax increase or through cuts to the budget. Mm-hmm. And, of course, under the current state law, there's a cap placed on the tax increase possibility there. It is not a strict 2%, but it is a formula that's based on a 2% cap. A lot of factors go into it, and I won't put everybody back to sleep by running through those factors.
And the 2% is getting a lot of pushback lately.
It is. Yeah, I guess everybody last week, the state teachers, one of the state teachers' unions filed a lawsuit.
Filed a lawsuit, yeah.
Yeah, along with some parents. And so we'll see where that goes. They're saying it's unconstitutional. It's inequitable. So, but for now, we have to work within Mr. Cuomo's cap. And so they are limited on how much the tax levy can go up. Some of the non-mandated programs that they're looking at, extracurricular activities, elementary music, elementary art, K-6 library, all athletic programs, and the big one is kindergarten, because kindergarten is a non-mandated program, and they can yeah.
You're making me sick over
here. I know. They can cut kindergarten and realize a savings of $650,000 for the year. They have had, I think, among the teachers that announced their retirement in January, two or three were kindergarten teachers, long-standing kindergarten teachers. So the buzz is the plan is not to replace them. So you're looking at the prospect of course, pre-K is funded, and pre-K has become a priority both on the federal and the state level. So pre-K would be there, then the kids would have a gap year, presumably, and then come back for first grade. So, I don't know.
I cannot fathom how this is going to develop. You and I were talking last week about this. We've got to get the savings somewhere else aside from the pre-K programs and from the arts and from athletics. They're not. This is not recreational here.
Right. You look at a district like Hudson, and Hudson has been cutting art programs, language programs, long before this fiscal crisis. And on top of it, you have a district that is highly dependent on state aid. So they live and breathe by what comes out of Albany. And of course, what's coming out of Albany isn't too good. Isn't too good. So, but some other numbers. If they cut all athletic programs district-wide, that would be nearly $400,000. K-6 library, $91,000. Elementary art is $70,000, and elementary music is $64,000. Extracurriculars are about $65,000. So, yeah. So when you consider,
if you have radio television, if you have radio TV, you'll see that I'm on the ground. Yeah. Wallowing around holding my stomach.
Yeah. So this is not pretty, whether, you know, all of these. And granted, it's relatively early in terms of the interaction with the public on this question, and also comes in before the legislature puts its budget proposal out there. Supposedly, there is something in the works that would move some money around that would, restore some of the funding.
But decision-making time is, what, March and April and May?
Exactly.
March,
yeah.
April, and over the next 3 months.
Yeah. So I'm sure this is going to be, and especially now with the school opening, or whether they leave the school open or not, that's a major thing. So that will be ongoing.
The drama continues.
And the other thing on our errant principal watch, he is still he is still out, he is still home, and no movement there.
This is the story that has no end. And it just blows me away. It just blows me away. once again, for those of you who don't know, we have had I guess a suspended principal.
Yeah, a high school principal
for now 6 months from October.
Since October
on full pay.
Right. And he is one of the top earners in the district, so it's not a small sum of money.
They just can't figure out what to do.
Yeah, right. So, and there are all kinds of legal issues, and lawyers are you know, you can hear this.
If you wrote this down, you could make a sitcom out of it.
No, really, you can't make this stuff up. That's what I tell people. And the other thing, just a quick mention, I took a day away from the radio last week and went down to NYU Law School and attended a panel on education, race, and the law.
Ah.
It was a great, great day. Met some interesting people and heard conversations about school segregation and about how that really is a reality today, more so than, you know, 20 years ago. And so that was interesting. Also, litigation around education and the school-to-prison pipeline. And I want to get some of those people onto the radio to talk about a lot of the things they talked about on the panel. But it's very, you know, you see the trends nationally. A lot of these people, of course, are very focused on New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So it is based in an urban environment, but a much larger urban environment. But there are a lot of parallels to Hudson and to upstate as well. We're not immune up here. I'll be talking about that off and on.
More to come.
Yes.
Parents, keep your ear to the ground here at WGXC because we will be filling you in on these budgets that are coming up. Lynn Slonica is going to go out there and get herself beat up.
Alrighty then.
Attending board meetings and find out which ones will be mild and which ones will be nice.
That's
when
right.
The decisions come down.
But and those
be
board
down.
Races, too.
And the board races are coming up.
Yeah.
And, of course, we want your participation. This is community radio.
Absolutely.
Jump on in.
Yeah. Call us. Stop by.
Yeah. Call us and stop by. Say, what about my school district? Yeah, well, you're always talking about that. You know?
Exactly.
And we'll get, are you kidding me? That's what we love. You're listening to the WGXC Morning Show. And Philip is on your radio. I'm looking at